I cannot not cringe saying my hellos. I've been like singing hellos for like 20 minutes and I just can't get over it. Anyway, hello, how are we doing? I hope you're doing well. I hope this is finding you healthy, hydrated, happy, hopefully with some sun, well-fed, warm, I don't know. How are we doing? I am doing very well, thanks for asking. Yeah, right now I should be finishing my feminist cinema paper, but I mentally can't. I'm so exhausted, and yeah, I just feel like coming here and talking to you for a little bit. Why? I don't know. You tell me. I don't know. Today I'm this is really hard to say, but today I'm going to be talking about something that I'm struggling with at the moment, and something that I've been learning to navigate. However, I'm still learning from it, and I'm still feeling it, and I have been talking to many people about it lately, and I want to talk about friendship breakups, because I've been living in Paris for 2 months now, and I feel so lonely. I want to talk about friendship breakups because I think it's something that it's so common. It's such a general collective experience at this point that I feel like it still lacks a space in the daily discourse or in the, I don't know, in general. I feel like I don't hear about friendship breakups and how painful and how much hurt comes from a friendship breakup. And I've been learning a lot about them, and I've been learning how to deal with them. And I feel that especially when you're in your, I think it starts in your teens, but I think when you're in your 20s, it's just full of friendship breakups. I mean, breakups in general, I guess, but it's a time where you figure out what kind of people you want around you, the kind of person you want to be with, the people you're sharing your time with, what they're giving you back. You're learning to set boundaries. And if you're not, then you're maybe at some point going to figure out how that's making you feel, and the space, your space in society and your groups. And I think it's an era full of learning and realization. So I want to talk about my experience today because I've been reflecting a lot on friendships and a lot on the pain that comes with a friendship breakup, and how sometimes when it's not addressed, it could carry along for months, if not years. But I'm just going to use my example and say months, because that's something that I'm going through at the moment. So if you're going through a friendship breakup at the moment, I just want to say that I'm so sorry that you're going through that, but you're not alone. It's such a common experience, and there's so many different, like, it's such a tricky situation because it's not a general, like, you feel all sorts of ways. It happens in all sorts of ways. Sometimes it's like abrupt and changes overnight, and sometimes it just like dies slowly, and it could result as a trauma, and it could for sure traumatize people and trigger them and everything, and they might realize it as they're going through it. They might realize it later, but it's still a very uncomfortable and painful situation. So I just want to validate and give space to those feelings right here, because yeah, it's really painful, and I wish more people were talking about it. I genuinely am coming here because I want to address something that I wish I could hear more about and learn more about, and that I wish I had access to when I was in real pain about this. So just to give a little bit of context, I think when I realized how hurtful this was, because I think we associate breakups or, you know, emotional pain with romance. And I think it could be very damaging just associating those emotions to romance, because otherwise we ignore other ways of experiencing pain and we kind of avoid them or don't address them. So I think it's just not really healthy associating these quote unquote negative emotions to romance. I don't think there's negative emotions, but at the same time, I think that everything, like all relationships, are complex and beautiful and tricky and multifaceted. So I think that not just romance deserves to have this like this image of being something you work towards. Anyway, yesterday I was talking to someone about how I've been struggling so much with my prepositions in English. Like, I was writing this paper and I was using Grammarly. Everybody shames me about Grammarly. I know that. I know that. And sometimes I wish that wasn't part of me. That wasn't part of my history, of my, but sometimes I just need to know where on and in go. Sometimes I forget about it. Sometimes I don't have the energy to go through it. Sometimes I don't know. I just can't. So I struggle with my prepositions sometimes. And yeah, so please in advance, please excuse my lack of perfect positioning and prepositions today. I can go back to high school when I realized how painful this was. I remember I was 16 and for the first time in, I don't know, since middle school, I had this like solid group of friends. And by solid, I mean the school that I was in was very traditional, very old school. And we were in the same classrooms with the same people for years, like middle school and high school. Well, 1 year of high school, so like 4 years. I was in the same classroom with the same people, seeing them every single day for 4 years. So, I mean, something came out of that, which was having a friend group. And so I had this solid group of friends from age 13 till 16. And so I was really attached to having a group of friends. I grew up moving from city to city. So I've always struggled with the feeling of belonging. Like, I truly never felt like I belonged. So as soon as something that gave me that reassurance came up, I would just like hold on to it. So in this case, it was my group of friends that I was really happy with. And then life happened. I don't know. You're immature and I don't know. I don't know what happened. And then we started having like arguments and like one thing led to another, and I was just like absolutely shattered. I had like this like little high school romance, and this person was just like absolutely like the most toxic person, and they were just like talking things behind my back, and my friends just got like really upset at me for things that weren't real, just like really classic high school shit. And so I remember that I was so devastated by this. Like, I was so devastated by feeling left out and feeling like, once again, I didn't belong, that I didn't have friends, that no one had my back, that I fell in a big depression. I think for the first time in my, during my teenage years, I was in a lot of pain that was caused by some sort of external situation happening at the same time as I was internalizing this experience. So I remember my mom just saw me in that state, and she's always been a great believer in asking for and getting professional help. So that's when she suggested me to go to therapy. And back then it was still pretty stigmatized and I was kind of like against it. I kind of wanted to keep it a secret. I was like, okay, I'll give it a go, but it's going to be a secret. I don't want anyone to be knowing about it. So I went to therapy for the first time because of friendship drama and because of, yeah, friendship, this massive friendship breakup that was really shattering me. And the truth is that friendship breakups reflect so much more than what they are. In this case, I can see now that I was grieving so much because, not because I was losing those friends or because they showed me their real qualities or because I realized that they were probably not as close or as good friends as I thought they were, but it was more because of this sense of belonging that I thought I had or I was experiencing, and then seeing that shattering crumbling in your face, it's kind of a lot. So I think those breakups, those situations really point out to something bigger, just like everything, I guess. But I remember going to therapy and I remember feeling so dumb and so immature and so, I don't know, I just felt ridiculous for going to therapy to talk about my friendship drama, my high school friendship drama. I was so embarrassed. And I remember that my idea of therapy was like, this is where couples, like married couples with children go, you know, like this is where people who've been through real trauma go. Like, why am I here? I'm literally just here because my mom drove me here. You know what I mean? Like, I wanted to give it a go because my mom suggested it, but I didn't really believe that my reasons to be so sad and so depressed were big enough or worth talking about. I mean, especially paying someone to listen to this. So as I go into my therapy session, and I have no idea how this is going to go. I don't know. I can't remember if I did have in mind what I was going to talk about or if the therapist kind of went into the topic with, I don't know. I can't remember, but yeah, that's how my first therapy, that's when my journey with therapy began. And I remember really enjoying it. I remember enjoying it because I came in with this idea of like, oh my God, I'm so dumb. Why am I crying over, you know, like a friend circle, you know, just dissolving, like this is so dumb. And then I remember leaving feeling a sense of relief and understanding, which is what you should always feel, or I mean what you're supposed to feel when you go to therapy or you just like talk to someone and you release what you're thinking and you release the judgment of feeling a certain way. So I remember at this point realizing how it was a big deal for me and how it was way deeper than what I thought was happening. And so it gave me a lot of perspective, and I started gaining perspective over this, and I started getting a little bit stronger because I didn't want to go to school. Like, this was really fucking me up. Like, I didn't want to go to school, and I didn't, like, I remember going to the bathroom and just, like, crying every day in the bathroom. Like, it was really bad. And so I ended up changing high schools, and it was, like, the best decision of my life. My parents, it took a depression and just me crying every day for my parents to realize that it was a big deal. So yeah. And I think low key, my therapist maybe talked to my parents. I don't know. But yeah, I think I, in that moment, I realized how impactful it was for me and how I could have this wound from my upbringing. Of feeling like I didn't belong, of feeling like I needed a circle, feeling like I just kind of like in that moment, something came and kind of started showing me things that I was like, maybe someday I should look into those and just try to see why they're hurting me or why they feel this way. And so as years passed by and I started meeting more people, doing more things, putting myself out there. Because I remember that after having this friendship breakup with like my group of friends from that time, I just fully like started from scratch, just like meeting people and like going like the opposite, just like full on social settings and I don't know. Yeah, just like wanting to meet people and doing things and stuff. And yeah, I think that's also when I started traveling overseas. So it was kind of like an era where I was, meeting a lot of people, a lot of people, exchanging, and I mean, yeah, just going from place to place, meeting a bunch of people. So yeah, this happens. And then I realize how, oh my God. Okay. I missed something really important. At the same time as this was happening, I was breaking up with this person that I was with in high school. Like, it was not really a big deal, but it was like my first kind of like romance, like I don't know if it was a fling, but it was definitely something, like when it comes to high school. So I remember that as much as this heartbreak, as this breakup was going on with, like, in a romantic way, I was going through, like, this friendship breakup, and I was like, why do they both hurt as much, you know? Like, why is this so hurtful? And so I realized that, like, breakups, like, either with, like, a friend or with, you know, like, a romantic someone, significant other, it's kind of, I mean, like, there's still relationships in your life, you know? And I was like, I think we are, like, underestimating the pain that comes from not being friends with someone anymore. So that's when I realized it. Anyway, so I start meeting a lot of people. And then, of course, in your 20s, in your early 20s, I mean, some people are kind of all over the place. People come and go. I moved many times. I was never in a single place for a long time when I started traveling and moving around, because I was, like, figuring out where I was gonna go. So I met a lot of amazing people that I had an amazing connection with, that I became really close to, but then I would not see them, and I haven't seen them since, you know? And I can't say that that's a breakup, but it, for sure, it's again more, it's a sort of pain that comes with being so, I don't know if familiar is the word, but getting so close to someone in a non-romantic way and missing them and grieving their absence. So when I start university in New Zealand, and I start meeting people again and kind of, you know, just settling in a new space that I'm gonna be living in for a little bit, I start meeting again people, and just getting immersed in different social circles. And I once again start experiencing amazing months of a friendship, and then things would end, and then I went through more friendship breakups during my time in uni. And I can't say that, when I mean breakup, I don't mean necessarily things ending as drastically as they would in a relationship, where, I mean, not all relationships end the same as well, but, like, you know, it was not like a breakup of, like, it's over, blocking you from everywhere, never seeing you again sort of thing. It was just, you know, when, like, friendships, like, start dissolving. So I think there's many different types of friendship breakups, and there's many different reasons why they happen. I think I've experienced quite a few of them, and I'm going to talk about them today, and maybe, and kind of like about how I've been, yeah, healing and learning to navigate that uncomfortable and painful could be. So I think the classic one is people grow apart. You know, you encounter someone at some stage in your life when you're probably needing company, you're needing a specific type of person around you. You either trauma bond with them, or, you know, they remind you of someone. I don't know. But then you grow apart. You know, it's like kind of like very circumstantial. You meet someone and then you hit it off, and then, I don't know, things happen, start evolving, start getting better, things change, someone moves, someone gets a new partner, whatever. And then things just move along as well. So you move on at the same time. I think this is, like, quite common. Like, I don't think this is I mean, it's pretty painful, but like at the same time, it's quite inevitable even. I don't know. To me, it was really hard to accept for sure that I was like, oh, damn, like we're in such different like headspaces, or, you know, like, I don't know, like they're into different things that I'm not into right now or whatever. So I think this is a reminder of how ever-changing we are and how humans are meant to be in movement, and how we're always learning and expanding and in movement. And I think it's quite inevitable, and I think understanding that we're always going to grow out of certain spaces, and sometimes those spaces hold people, and at times we're not going to be able to bring them with us, and that's okay. That's absolutely okay. It's happened to me in the past where I guess a great example is childhood friends. I can't speak for everyone, but I feel like you disconnect from your childhood friends. I mean, you're like really close during childhood, and then you disconnect, and that at some point you reconnect again, and it's very lovely having that special memory with someone. Or I don't know, high school friend, whatever. It's like the case when friends reconnect after kind of having their time growing apart, and then something draws them back together. But I think it's just so normal, and I think it's so okay to feel the grief and the pain. And I think forcing things is way, like, ends up hurting more. And the best way to be at peace with this is just releasing the expectation and releasing the, I don't know, like this idea that we're supposed to be having this amazing group of friends, or this like, or be with so close with our friends from childhood or whatever. I think it's so damaging that we've romanticized friendship, and we've attributed an image to friendship that is very hurtful. Not everyone has access to that, and not everyone's got that experience. And I think it's very, very painful to go through phases of your life where you might feel lonely as fuck, and then you feel the pressure to have a group of friends, or to have this perfect, or I don't know, whatever, relationship with others. So I think that's one of the reasons why we hold on so tight to the natural ways of life, I guess, which in this case it's like growing apart, moving on. Sometimes that happens with some people. With some others it's amazing, because for some reason the chemistry and the energy, the vibe, the values, whatever the fuck it is, it just like stays the same, and it's amazing, because that just, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is, but sometimes it happens like that, and sometimes it happens the other way. And either way, it's fine, because it's natural. If it's natural, it's the best thing to let it be and accept that it's part of our human experience. That's all I can say. And it's, to me, it hurts, but it's kind of the most manageable one that I learned when I precisely started going to therapy, and I was like, why are we not talking anymore? Why aren't we not friends anymore? And yeah, just letting go of this expectation was really helpful, and it's something that I need to remind myself of every single day. Then we have the friendship breakups, where this is something I've gone through so many times in my life, and it's a friendship where, in this case, I'm going to talk about a specific case, which is something that I've heard from my female friends as well, that happens to them with guys. I love having guy friends. I absolutely love it. Like, those platonic friendships are amazing. But I've been in so many situations, and some of the ones that have hurt me the most were, I found myself really uncomfortable realizing that my guy friend, or a guy friend that I've had, has different feelings to mine towards me. And they might have another idea of where our friendship is going, or, you know, they might try to make a move. They might try to change the tone of the relationship. They might want to go a little bit further. They might want to whatever. And then as soon as you set a boundary and you say no, they're just like, okay, then no. You know what I mean? And then they just like ghost you or step away from the relationship or it gets awkward. I don't know. That's been just one of them. I still have not wrapped my mind about it because it's something that I can't think of doing. Like, I just could never do. As soon as you set a boundary with someone, they just get so offended or they're so proud. I don't know what it is. And they just like directly step away. And then you're left wondering like, oh, wow, was everything we had just like you were attracted to me and that's it? And I was actually putting effort to nourish our friendship. Like, is that actually it? You know? So I've been very hurt by those experiences because they absolutely make me wonder. I'm like, wow. So was I the only person imagining that this was going, this was a friendship going both ways? You know what I mean? Really bizarre experience. And I don't know. I don't have much to say about that. If we're talking about attraction, could happen with anyone, right? But I think that, like, in my case, I've been in like predatory circumstances where I feel that, I don't know, where I feel like it's not, it's just not safe for me to be there anymore, or it's just not working. I don't know. And I just need to set a boundary, and then I'm just like feeling tossed, and it's really weird. And yeah, I don't know what to say about it. It's very hurtful, and it does happen. It is quite common. I've been in situations like these where it's actually happened with both men and women. Sometimes, I mean, happens more commonly from my experience or perspective with when guys have this, I don't know, with predatory people, predatory behavior, maybe, I don't know. But it hurts a lot realizing that your friendship is just kind of relying on the attraction of the other person towards you. So in this case, I mean, don't feel bad for setting your boundaries. If you've set a boundary and people either disrespect them or feel offended by them or, you know, decide to step away or whatever, thank them. Like, that's a blessing, because people who show these strange attitudes towards boundaries are most likely the people who benefit of you not having boundaries or not setting them. So in this case, I can see why those kinds of attitudes, predatory behavior, just kind of like, I don't know, it just kind of like thrives off not having any boundaries, if that makes any sense. I feel like this is kind of like a mess. But anyway, if you've gone through this, I think that the only way to start making peace with this situation is accepting it and not feeling bad for loving, even if you feel like you were the person who loved most. There's never nothing wrong with that. And you know, I feel for you. But also, we need to realize that setting boundaries, we should not feel guilty about it. I think particularly as women, we do feel guilty about saying no or about, you know, being too direct. I think that we should remember that always looking after ourselves in a relationship, in a friendship, looking after the person's feelings, but also ours. And if you ever feel uncomfortable and you just have to set a boundary, that's for a reason. And I think you should stick to your reasoning and your feeling. So yeah, never feel bad for setting your boundaries. I think that when someone, this is another example that I have, when someone is disrespectful to you and someone is, I don't know, I think that once again, drawing back from the idea of where the place where a friendship blossoms, sometimes it blossoms from genuine interest and care, genuine connection. But some other times it blossoms from something else. You know, it blossoms from either not wanting to be alone and just, you know, forcing things with the first person. I don't know, whatever reason, you know, we must look at where things are coming from and what we are nurturing through our friendship or our connection with this person. I think it's so important thinking. I think the best advice that I've ever gotten and that I do, and I still do it, and that's like such a great guide. Not just like follow your intuition, which I totally do, by the way, follow your intuition and yeah, how you feel the person and like how you feel the interaction is going or is in general. But try to track how you feel when you are around this person. Because sometimes I think we don't notice enough, but like we feel either tired or we feel like, not just physically, but mentally or emotionally, or we feel drained. We might feel like it's just going like one-sided. We might feel whatever way we might start feeling. I think it's really important to feel how we consistently feel around this person. Because sometimes for sure our friends might be going through some hard stuff and we are there for support. And of course, things are going to get a little bit, you know, probably a little bit heavier, a little bit more intense. They're going to be a little bit more irritable. I don't know. When people have issues, they have issues and they navigate and they're doing their best. But if this is something consistent that you're feeling that it's just one-sided, I think you should definitely look at how the place where it's coming from, probably how the friendship started or the reasons why they started or like the place you emotionally were at when it started. I think there's many factors for you to consider and evaluate your relationship with the other person, because I think that speaks a lot of the nature of your relationship. I've been in situations where I have become friends with someone out of the loneliest places and like the just, you know, like when I'm like at my lowest point and I'm just like really upset and I want to talk to someone about like the worst things in life and that's the only way that we connect, that's probably not going to be a positive influence for me in the long way. So that's of course an example of a type of relationship that kind of fades away in time when you kind of either want to get to a better point in your life and you're like, okay, I'm kind of like done with, you know, talking or, you know, just looking at like the shitty aspects or like the negative things about this. Like, I actually kind of want to move on. I want to change the way that I see things, that I speak, that I, you know, I grew up hearing that you are the five people, that you're a mix of the five people you hang out the most with. And ever since I was just like, oh my God, if that's actually true, that's pretty wild, you know? Like, I think definitely there's an aspect, there's a environment plays a really big role in how we feel, how we do things, what we think, how we see the world. Connections are so crucial to us, and they could be so nurturing, but they could also be very damaging, and they could also really shatter. Yeah, just kind of like stop you from potentially growing out of something that you want to let go or release or feelings that you want to stop feeding every day. So I think that when a friendship ends because you start noticing that this person represents a part of your life that you don't want to participate anymore, or, you know, like it represents a habit or it represents a lifestyle that you don't feel aligned with, that is not healthy for you, that it's hurting you, that it's not what you want anymore, I think this could also be very painful and really hard, especially because it's so conflictive saying toxic relationships, but like with dysfunctional relationships, our brain gets addicted to the adrenaline that it releases when we're around drama and when we're around the toxicity or like, you know, whatever, the stress, the high levels of stress that some settings, some environments trigger. And we release this adrenaline that our brain is addicted to. So it could be really hard. It's like a drug. It's like literally just like letting go of a substance that we become addicted to. So it's, of course, really hard. And stepping back gradually could be definitely the best way to go. And it still could really hurt. It could hurt so much. It could really hurt. And I think friendship breakups are really tough to navigate, and I think that they might be really isolating as well, especially because sometimes the people we're the closest to, we could grow apart from as well. And that's just a really terrifying thought when you're very happy with your circle and your environment. It doesn't mean that everybody, that every single friendship ends. I don't believe so. I don't think so. But at the same time, I've grown apart from people who I've been so close with. And that's been one of the most painful experiences of my life. And I think for any kind of friendship breakup, just because I'm not going to mention all of them, it's just so many particular situations and just like so hard to label and talk about, especially from experience. I don't want to fully project my own personal experience in here, but I've been through so much pain, from, you know, not being friends with someone who I've been so close with in the past and who represents an era of my life that I loved very much and that I miss at times. You know, it's like, I think we all have experienced that, you know, like the pain of, you know, like reminiscing and being like, oh my God, like what happened? You know, like time just passes really, just goes by really quickly. And like, sometimes you don't understand. Like the thing is like those breakups, like, could result in trauma, and at the when they're happening, like you just don't realize it till months later, or until you realize that you might not, you know, be trusting people again as much as you did, or you might not even be feeling like making friends anymore, or you're not actively looking for friends. And I think we all have the right to grieve in whatever way looks like for all of us. I think it looks very different for people. Some people love, you know, I mean, people do all sorts of different things for healing, but, you know, some people take their time. They might, you know, remove themselves from a social setting, from friends of friends, from, you know, or they might stay in the same friend group. And, you know, it just, I think it works different with people. But the biggest learning that I've done, that I've made, sorry, with when it comes to friendships, and yeah, friendships that dissolve in time, is treating all my relationships as if they were romantic relationships. And what do I mean by this? We have been programmed to have such an emphasis and like to put so much energy towards romantic connections, special connections. But I think that's something that we should also, like, that's an idea, that's a basis that we should use for every single relationship and connection that we have in our lives, starting with our own self, with ourselves, with our own relationship, with ourselves, with ourselves, okay? And then we can apply that premise to a relationship with our friends, with others around us, with our community, with our space in the world. I don't know. But like, if we nurture our friendships and we put as much, I mean, maybe not as much energy, but if we look at them as something fragile, as something that is like a little plant. I didn't mean fragile by something that can break, but like, think about a little plant, okay? Just, we have a little plant. Every single connection in our life is a plant. So plants need sun, plants need water, they need healthy soil, they need, you know, all a series of environmental care, but also love. That didn't come out correctly. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about. They need care and love and input and work and nurturing. So every single relationship in our lives, no matter how deep or no matter how superficial, it needs that. And maybe it doesn't need it, but it requires that in order to bloom, to grow, to be stronger, to thrive, to whatever. So in the same way as it needs that, once it ends, once a little plant dries out, once it's the winter and everyone is hibernating and our little house plants go to plant heaven, what happens? Well, we must honor the plant in the same way that we would honor any other of our plant babies. Oh my God, I'm delusional now. But that's what happens. I think we should honor every single past relationship or friendship breakup as we would if we were as we were having a romantic breakup, which could be quote unquote a real breakup. Not that I don't believe that it's a real or non-real breakup, but a real breakup, okay? So I think that we might, by acknowledging that, you know, they're as uncomfortable, they could, not always, I mean, depends, but like, they could hurt as much. I mean, I've been in a friendship breakup where I felt so miserable. Like, I'm not even joking. Like, I've gotten so depressed. I've been like, so miserable. Didn't have like a close friend for months, and I was just really sad about it, and I was just like, oh my God, I'm not gonna have friends again, where's my sense of belonging? So I think that when we go through a breakup, breakups usually, as painful and uncomfortable as they are, they end up showing us something. And if we treat a friendship breakup like an opportunity for growth, like an opportunity to reflect and learn and utilize that soil to reinforce it with minerals and plant something else. My metaphors are so off today. I'm so sorry, everybody. But if we reutilize that experience, you know, that grief can turn into something else, you know? Like, it's, we need to see that as a phase, okay? Friendship breakups. It's a season, a very uncomfortable season, potentially full of pain, but it's an opportunity for growth, just as a romantic breakup could be. You know, I'm pretty sure we've all experienced a sort of romantic breakup that once it's over and once it's long gone, we're like, oh my God, I'm so happy that that actually ended. You know what I mean? So the same happens when we have a friendship breakup. Sometimes it's on our side. Sometimes it was probably us who needed to, you know, to, I don't know, do something differently, to learn, I don't know, whatever. But sometimes it's on them. Sometimes it's just like, and I'm not blaming here, I'm just saying that sometimes, you know, different reasons. And sometimes it's just life. Or sometimes it's like, whatever the specific reason is, I think it's an opportunity to look at what that breakup is pointing towards to in ourselves. Once again, I'm going to go back to me feeling like that friendship, that like me not being friends with my group anymore, was just showing me that I was so hurt by this idea that I didn't belong, that I needed a group, that I needed, you know, like to have people around me to feel the validation of being, but whatever. So asking questions without meaning to answer them. I think when we're navigating a moment of grief, we can't be asking and aiming to answer questions from the same headspace that we ask from. Otherwise, where is the growth? When is the growth coming in? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes there's days, months, years where we ask things, and then another day or month or year, we're gonna get those answers, you know? Like, they come in different timings, but I think it's important to ask ourselves, to ask and look at the relationship objectively, the relationship that faded away, and be like, what is this showing me about myself? What is this showing me about my attachment style? What is this showing me about the way that I interact with the world? Because yes, they're so painful, but they also are in some way a gift from the universe, from life, from whatever you believe in, from the cause effect thing. I don't know, but there has not been a single breakup that I've gone through. I mean, I've been through many. There has not been a single breakup that I've gone through that I'm just left thinking like, okay, this makes no sense. What was it for? I mean, at the time it does feel like that, and I'm just like, I feel either so miserable, so upset, so anxious, so sad, so nervous. But then looking at that and looking at things, you can see that maybe not a particular reason was behind that, but it's about what you do with the grief and what you do with that space that someone leaves behind, you know? I think it's very important to see the space that people occupy in your life, the space that you occupy in other people's lives, the kind of friends that you want around you, just the kind of people that you want around you. I think that me, I'm still in the hungover of a friendship breakup that I had recently, and I can only see now, months from it now, how much it affected me. And I've had so many, such great learnings from there. And I've reflected a lot about the kind of people that I want around me and how I embody, how I fulfill the space that a friendship occupies in other people's lives. So I think it's really painful. And I think we should be talking more about this. And I think we should treat all the relationships in our lives, all the connections in our lives, we should honor them and respect them for what they are. I think it's a great reminder of the healing and the happiness and the gratitude and all the amazing emotions that we feel when we are nurtured by our social circle. And I think it's a reminder, not just that we're alive, but yeah, that we are feeling things and that these emotions are pointing towards somewhere else, somewhere it goes deeper, it's rooted in us. And I think this is something really important to mention as well. If it starts happening as a pattern, which has happened to me before, I think learning to read the situations, reflecting where things are coming from, and like kind of like how we feel around those people and like how we behave around these kinds of people, I think it also allows us to see if we have patterns, if we connect with people through a trauma or through fulfilling an idea about something that it's just not resonating with us or that it's incoherent. I think it's really important to note that, to see if this is some sort of pattern or if this is something that is happening in your life very consistently and why it's happening. And if you're on the era of asking questions, the best thing that I've learned is that like life is not static, it just changes. And I think that when we feel like there's eras where we have like a bunch of friends and like we might have a group and we might feel so fulfilled by our social circle, I'm so jealous of the people who have this consistently and who have this sort of stability. I personally don't. And I mean, right now it's an example. I feel very lonely. I don't have any friends right now physically with me. All my good friends and close relationships are far away from me at the moment. So, and plus I'm on the hungover of a friendship breakup. So I think that it's kind of like a mix of both, you know, of like still digesting the grief and like reflecting, while at the same time I'm trying to remind myself that this is just a temporary stage in my life, because at some other point, there's going to be a time when I'm finally healed from this and I'm once again open to connect with people in a deeper level. And I'm once again, I don't know, like with more time and space to hold meaningful friendships. Not that I don't have it now, but I guess I'm just dealing with, still with moving countries, trying to get my life together. If you're feeling, yeah, if you're going through a lonely moment in your life, I absolutely feel you, and you're not alone. I know it sounds like a joke and it's really dumb to think sometimes, but you're not alone. So many people feel so lonely every single day, and they feel lonely when they're surrounded by people, when they're by themselves. It's a feeling that does not necessarily point towards the amount of people we have around us. So I think also starting to dissolve those ideas that we've been taught and we've been reinforcing every day through shows and social media about what a friendship, what a healthy friendship life, what a healthy friendship is, or what a social life is. I don't know. Anyway, that's definitely something that's really affected me and that I'm like learning to, I'm like my brain to kind of let go of that, those ideas that are really hurting me at the moment, like comparing like, oh my God, like that group of friends and like, oh my God, yeah, whatever. And now I'm like, oh wow, like I made a friend today and it's just one friend versus the 20 friends that my friends have. Anyway, let me know what you think. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know how you feel about this. Probably it's just me, you know? Probably I just sat down here to spill my guts about my feelings. But most likely, you might have experienced this. And if you're also going through it, I am sending you a big hug as well. Yeah, let me know what you think. Don't forget that we have a Patreon and we have monthly journaling sessions. And yeah, I'm really happy for people listening. Thank you so much for doing so and texting me. That's really nice. That actually makes me very happy. And yeah, follow me. Follow the podcast at Amora Podcast. If you love the show, please share it. Please give it, rate it. I was going to suggest giving it 5 stars, but like, who am I to say that? But rate it. And yes, thank you so much for listening. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week, rest of your month. And we'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.